Blaze Radio, 1290 WJNL.
From the Club Raymond Motor Cars Studio, you're listening to News Radio 1290 WJNO, an iHeartRadio station.
The thoughts and opinions expressed are those of the sponsors and don't necessarily reflect those of this station or iHeartMedia.
This is the Family Center for Recovery show. Join us now to learn ways to begin the path to recovery. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers don't. Learn more at FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
And here we are, and welcome. You've tuned in to the Family Center for Recovery show. Your host, Peter Nathan. And today in the studio, we've got some special guests, and we're going to be talking about art today. And with me are, well, Catherine Rich. She's the owner of Art FX, and she's brought along Lindsay Duncan. And yeah, could you maybe, Catherine, tell us a little bit about yourself and Art FX, and we'll go from there.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks, Peter. Thank you, first of all, for having us. We really appreciate to be here. Art FX and myself. Okay. So I founded Art FX back in 2012 upon moving to Florida from Williamsburg, Virginia. And we specialize in bringing expressive art workshops into local organizations for the clients of local organizations. So we bring in our art and our lovely facilitators and help people to express themselves through their creations.
Excellent. Lindsay, could you maybe tell a little bit about your role over at RFX?
Absolutely.
And how you got involved?
And thank you for having us, Peter. My name is Lindsay. I'm a group facilitator for Art FX. I am a self-taught artist, and I found interest and expression through art for my love for psychology. I'm a master's student at Nova Southeastern, and I just walked last week, and I found Catherine's amazing program about 2 years ago, and I've been using art through expression myself my whole life, so I love passing that on to our clients as well.
That is so cool, and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
We're very proud of her.
And look who else is with us here in the studio today, our very own Rachel Spiller, primary therapist over at Family Center for Recovery. Rachel, could you maybe tell us a bit about yourself, your background, what really kind of drew you to the field as far as art?
Okay. Well, I, excuse me, like the other two lovely ladies here today, I have been doing creating artwork my entire life. Has been an outlet for me since I was very little. So I've always known it was something that I felt would be helpful for other people as well. And so kind of through my career path, I ended up at art therapy as my destination. And it was something that I feel is helpful for all fields. About 6 years ago, I started at Family Center for Recovery, and I have been bringing art therapy to the substance abuse field ever since. So I find it a unique and interesting blend. I use it both in my groups and individuals. I've used it with adults and adolescents, and I think overall it's a pretty good fit.
Well, thank you for sharing. I think the other day you mentioned you're originally from New York, the Bronx, is it?
No, originally I'm from Delaware, but I have lived all up and down the Northeast. But I did teach in the Bronx at one point. So.
Excellent. Probably some really great stories and some things you'd probably be able to share with our listeners. I found this out the other day, and it's very important for our listeners to really know the distinction and the difference as far as somebody that's a therapist, somebody who's putting on workshops. And it's very, how should we say, something that influential as far as when somebody is thinking about therapy. So with that, Catherine, could you maybe kind of go over with our listeners a little bit as far as that distinction and how it does work?
Sure, Peter, I'd love to. I also forgot to mention that I'm actually a third-year art therapy student, and I think it is very important that we do distinguish that there is a huge difference between art therapy, which is a clinical master's level field, and just using art as a means of self-expression. So when we do our workshops with Art FX, it's not art therapy. It's not a clinical thing. We bring in in art really as a tool for healing, but we don't actually do the art therapy side, the clinical side. Art therapists are really well educated in how to use art as an intervention with their clients to accomplish specific treatment goals. They can also know how to establish these various diagnoses. They are able to see within the art evidence of and employ the art based on the assessment of their clients through the art and do that treatment planning. So, yeah, Rachel, did you want to add anything else to that?
You know, I think actually a good example of that would be just recently I saw somebody who had run what I would consider to be an art therapy group. This would be a person that doesn't necessarily have that training.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a mask where, you know, she had asked the patients to create, you know, what the image of themselves.
Mm.
And me as an art therapist, I know I specifically, when I'm starting that task, I'm going to let the patients know you're not using words in this.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And unfortunately, because she does not have that training, she missed out on that.
Oh.
And so it's just that these things that people don't necessarily realize that when you lose out a lot when you don't have that training and being able to have the patients be able to have that experience.
Sure.
And that's not to say that, you know, they don't benefit.
Sure, yeah.
I'm sure they do. But that's where we make the distinction between someone who can use art
therapeutic means, yeah, versus art as just a tool for self-expression.
Right. Exactly.
There's a difference. Yep.
Exactly.
Does that make, is that pretty clear?
I was going to say, for me, and I think also for our listeners, that does clear out a lot of questions as far as, you know, somebody's looking and they maybe got their son or daughter, and if things just really, they haven't really responded well to any other modes of types of therapies and things that are out there. This is a different mode. It's a way to really look at the subconscious and open up as far as communication. And I know that as far as experience wise that there's probably situations that have come across in both over at Family Center and also at RFX. Maybe Rachel, would you like to share with our listeners maybe something that you maybe come across working with somebody and how it's helped to open up the lines of communications and things like that?
Sure, certainly. You know, I know One specific patient that comes to mind, and we'll call him Bob. you know, he was a patient that came to us who was 15, but, you know, chronologically so, but really maturity-wise, probably 6, 7. His vocabulary, as far as emotionally speaking, was about that same age as well. Really struggled to, you know, express how he felt. If you ask him how he felt, excuse me, he really couldn't say other than mad. Mm. Everything was mad. And so a lot of times, you know, I would sit with him. I remember the first time I used art with him, I sat down at the desk and I had a mandala and I said, "Do you want to draw?" And he said, "No." I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, I want to draw." So I sat there and I colored. I drew for a few minutes. And then he picked up a marker and he started to draw with me. And I noticed that fairly quickly he started to calm down. And so that became a part of our dialogue. Mm. Where every time we would go into my office to sit down, we would spend the first few minutes drawing. We wouldn't say anything. And it was his way of being able to calm down before he was ready to talk about anything. I also used a lot of paint with him because he really enjoyed being able to just get into the paint and use it to express himself, whether it be kind of splattering the paint or just whatever it was, using the paint in really a physical way. Mm-hmm. And so, it's something where a lot of times where people don't have the vocabulary and they're not able to express themselves, the art really is a good tool to allow them to get out what they're feeling.
Sounds like an excellent way to establish rapport, very impactful as far as creating an atmosphere that's conducive.
I've always felt that art is a safe language because it does have that communicative aspect to it, but it's a way of getting things that you might be holding in your heart and in your mind, things that might be painful in there, and it's a way of letting them escape the body and go out onto paper. And unless you choose to put a vocab with that, unless you choose to share what it means, it can still be outside of your body. You can still be communicating with it being safe. You don't have to share what it is.
That's an excellent concept and observation. If you've just joined us, you tuned into the Family Center for Recovery show, your host, Peter Nathan. And with me in the studio today are Catherine and Lindsay from Artifacts and our very own Rachel Speller from over at Family Center for Recovery. We're talking art and we're talking subconscious. We're talking about opening up lines of communication. Lindsay, your thoughts as far as we're talking.
I have to agree with both Catherine and Rachel. I think it's definitely a great form of communication. We've come across a few clients that, you know, can't really verbalize, you know, what they're going through, but they can paint it or they can draw it or whatever, you know, the medium might be. And it's amazing being a part of that and being able for them to express themselves.
Yeah. Rachel and I were speaking the other day about the fact that sometimes an emotion or a feeling or an experience literally doesn't have a word. It can still be very real, but there's no really correct word for it. But it might have a color or it might have a shape.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really powerful in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was gonna say, and the other thing is sometimes our feelings can be very scary.
Ooh,
and
right.
they can be
right.
very disturbing. And so one of the nice things about the artwork is that it does create distance between, you know, the patient and that feeling, because they can put that feeling away from them on paper or into clay or into whatever it is. And so it's not necessarily their feeling. It's on something else. And so sometimes that can be helpful as well.
Some reflective distance.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's the other thing, too, is that once you've created something, you have that something that you can look back on, that's tangible in nature, that you can refer back to. So in our next segment, what we're going to be going over is some more experiences as to how art has been a window as far as between the worlds and opening up as far as thoughts and as far as from standpoint of feelings and preview. Catherine, would you like to maybe preview one of our experiences that you may have had?
Sure. I think one of the things that's really neat about art is in its ability to connect with the subconscious, that things that maybe aren't planned in the artwork can come out through it. And I would love to share a story of just how that happened for one of our clients at ArtFX.
And I think that's the thing that's so impactful, and that it's the way to open up as far as lines of communication and things along those lines. Rachel, your thoughts as far as before we go to commercial break, as far as some of the experiences that you've had over at Family Center and working with some of our patients.
Currently I work with adolescents, but I have worked with adults in the past. And sometimes the adults can be particularly resistant to the art, because they're, I'm not an artist, I can't do this. But what I have found is when you get them to really surrender, which is a big thing in recovery, they find that it really is an experience that helps them and is meaningful for them.
You know, and that's the thing about it is it's not for just any age. I know as far as from our elderly community, as far as retirees and for youth, but also for people that are midlife. So with that, we're going to be right back. We're going to a short commercial break, and we will be back soon.
Listening to the Family Center for Recovery show. Find out more about the Family Center for Recovery on facebook.com/Family Center for Recovery. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers don't. We'll be right back. The Family Center for Recovery in Lantana is the only treatment center in Florida owned and operated by a triple board certified psychiatrist. This means the Family Center for Recovery does treatment the right way. They treat substance abuse, depression, bipolar disorder, OCD, anxiety, teens and adults at all levels of inpatient care. Check out the innovative, life-changing treatment the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana has to offer at FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
Welcome back to the Family Center for Recovery radio show. If you wish to share this broadcast with a friend, you'll find the link at the Family Center for Recovery's website, FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
And we are back. Thank you for joining us on your Sunday afternoon, wherever that might be. Could be picnic. I know it is the 4th of July weekend, so happy 4th to everybody out there. And we are talking about art today, and the therapeutic as far as values and experiences of our Catherine and Lindsay from Artifacts and our very own Rachel Spiller from Family Center for Recovery. So with that, let's talk about, I think you shared with me an experience that you had as far as with somebody. Catherine, could you maybe tell it for our listeners?
Sure. So before we went to commercial break, we kind of briefly touched on art's ability to open the doors to the subconscious. And I think that a particularly wonderful way of explaining what I mean by that is through a story of one of our clients. So I'm going to call him Shane. That's not his real name. And he's actually agreed to let me share this story, and I just thought it was really powerful. So with Shane, through what he'd been sharing with his therapist and through what had been coming up in his artwork over a series of weeks, he had shared with us that he had recently lost his mother. And so one day we were doing painting. We were doing something we call serenity painting. So it's really type of a kind of calming activity. It's where they access a safe image for them, something that's going to allow them to bring a little sense of serenity into their life. So each of our clients was provided with a brand new canvas, and these canvases were actually wrapped in cellophane. During our workshop, I moved from client to client, helping wherever I'm needed. And I noticed that one of our other clients has turned to Shane and exclaimed, "You know, you're supposed to take that cellophane off, right?" And I saw Shane's face kind of fall, and he was kind of embarrassed. You could just see his whole physical demeanor had changed until suddenly there was another switch, and his whole face lit up, and he was smiling. And so I was very intrigued. I wanted to know what just happened. I could see that something had happened for him. So I inquired about it, and he shared with us that his mother used to paint on windows. So that's what she would paint on, is these old window panes, this glass-like surface, and that at home he had all of these painted windows from her all over his house, and that cellophane, that was his subconscious telling him he wanted to paint on that glass-like surface of the cellophane. And so in some way his mother had kind of come through for him in his artistic process, which I just thought was really neat. It wasn't necessarily a conscious decision that he had made. It was something his subconscious had led him to do, but made the art so much more meaningful for him.
that type of story is so touching, and touches the feelings of really what art can do as a modem. Rachel, your thoughts on?
I think that's very telling, because a lot of times, you know, people sit down to make art and they're very resistant to it, or they're, you know, they don't feel comfortable with the process.
Or they're worried, they place these expectations on themselves and what quote unquote art should be or shouldn't be, I think.
Yeah, and I always, you know, a lot of times when I start an art therapy group, I remind them, this is not art class. You know, you're not here to be graded on the quality of your artwork. You know, nobody's Picasso. You know, this is really about you expressing how you feel. And at whatever you come up with is perfect the way that it is. And so, you know, a lot of times, especially adults, when they sit down to do artwork, they struggle with it. Mm-hmm. But the more that they become comfortable with it, the more they really feel the benefit, and they do see things that they didn't really necessarily expect to see come out in their artwork.
Absolutely. I think we can all kind of remember when we were young, you know, we all enjoyed art. I think it's a rare for a child not to, you know, really be able to jump in with crayons or whatever it is, and we didn't place these expectations on us. It was just pure joy in using the art to express oneself. But as we've aged, we've put on these expectations, and we've kind of missed out a little bit on that because of the stress that we've added into it. Why not just engage like a child would and have fun with it?
I know, Lindsay, you work with and conduct a lot of workshops. Maybe some of your personal experiences as far as working with...
Absolutely. I work in a lot of addiction, but also in memory care. One memory really stuck out for me. It was on Valentine's Day, and I was working with a client. We'll call her Allie. And Allie was probably about 83 years old.
So let's maybe share what memory care is, just to make sure our audience knows.
Okay. Memory care is dementia and Alzheimer's. They're very tactile. Catherine, would you like to touch more on it too?
Oh, that was all. I just wanted to make sure people knew, you know, we're talking about, you know, retirement population, seniors, and that with memory care, there is that memory issue. So it's individuals who are experiencing dementia or who might have Alzheimer's.
Right. So I was conducting a Valentine's Day workshop. So what we were doing is using chalk, and we were using hearts and just making cards for loved ones. And I was working with Allie, and a memory came up for her while we were working, and she started crying. And so I go over to her, and I'm like, Allie, you know, are you okay? You're okay. And Allie started having memories of her mother and spending time with her. Her mother was actually born on Valentine's Day. Just being able to have her go back to those positive memories with her mother and being able to express that was really powerful and amazing. And working in memory care, that was one of the most things that stood out for me.
I mean, I'm not a therapist, but it sounds like that's a cathartic moment. I guess that would be kind of maybe the word for it. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Family Center for Recovery show, and we're talking about Windows to the World, the subconscious, the ways that experiences and that they've witnessed as far as ways to unlock. And Rachel, your thoughts on some of the experiences that you've seen over at Family Center.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great example of where the actual artwork and being involved in the tactile experience can really bring up memories and trigger things in people that are very real. Mm-hmm. I know working with the adolescents specifically, a lot of them respond very well to art, but the adults do as well. You know, we have a staff member, and I won't mention him by name either, but he knows who he is, has been in one of my art therapy groups, and I don't think he would mind me mentioning it because he tells everyone that he meets the same story. He was in one of my art therapy groups, and he talks often about how that is one of the things that he continues to hold on to.
So having that lasting piece of artwork from his work, that work he was doing with you. So he was doing work on his recovery, and now he has this very tactile object that can kind of bring him back to that moment and is a witness to the work that he did and his accomplishments. Yeah. Art is great in that way because it is almost like a documentation of what you're doing, and it can be revisited as well. Some of our, we actually do our own workshops. Some of the things that we do in our workshops, I use for myself in my own art making, and it's pretty interesting that even though I might be creating art on a similar topic and do it at different points in my life, and how it's almost like a journal where you kind of see where you were, and then you revisit the same topic, and now you see how far you've come between that first time and now the time you're doing it. And it really can be powerful in that way.
There was I saw this recently on one of the news stations. It was youth in Chicago. As we all know, there's a lot of gun violence there, a lot of youth that are at risk. And I saw an interesting way of modem as far as using art. It was in glass blowing. And Rachel, you shared with me the other day as far as some of the therapeutic values of something along those lines. Can you maybe, for our listeners, please expound on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I had the great fortune when I was very young to go to a camp that had glass blowing. And something that people who have not done glass blowing might not know is that when you work in glass blowing, everything has to be done very quickly. And so it's something that people who are working together doing glass blowing, there has to be a great level of trust, because not only are you working with something that has great heat, but you have to be working in tandem very quickly and anticipating each other's needs and making sure that things are, you know, the other person is right there with you. And so as far as a therapeutic value, it's something that I can imagine would be hugely important, especially for somebody who's coming from a background where they might not have had that trust, or they might have struggled to find people that they can depend on. And so it really is an interesting kind of a concept to put them, you know, in an entirely different setting where they are focusing on just this one little, even if, you know, it really is amazing, because even just to make a tiny little bubble, it takes about a half an hour.
Wow.
And it takes about a half an hour, and it's a lot of work, and you really have to focus on it. It takes an extreme amount of focus, and it takes a lot of work and a lot of determination and a lot of skill. So it's a pretty interesting concept to have, like I said, somebody, you know, from a difficult background kind of step into that world and have that experience.
Yeah, and that's the exciting thing about it is that I know a lot of times people are interested in engaging, doing something with their hands, working with. So it's just an excellent modem to be able to do something. I know talking is very important, but to actually engage in doing it by
the hands-on part of it. Yep.
Lindsay, your thoughts before we go to commercial break or something like that modem?
I am really excited about the glass blowing. I think Rachel made a really good point about the trusting. Since you have to do it so fast and kind of work with it, we've noticed with some of our clients that tends to be like an issue with trust. So being able to have that in expression and art and engaging in that, I imagine you've seen a lot of improvement with your clients.
Yeah. Trust in others, and also trust in yourself that you can,
right,
you can do this, and you can put that out there and really do the work. And
I think another way to go about that is even working with clay, I think, sometimes creates that environment as well, where two people are working on one project, or they're, you know, kind of having to work in tandem to make one thing not fall apart.
It becomes a relational exercise as well, so learning to work with others.
And I know that you're probably out there thinking about, as far as maybe you've got a son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter or somebody, even possibly yourself, and you're thinking, you know, the therapy that I've been going through just really hasn't worked for me. And what we're going to do in the next section, we're going to go over as far as really some ways that you'd be able to kind of research. I mean, obviously, we'd want you to come to Family Center for Recovery for treatment and something along those lines, work art affects as far as the workshops. But in our next section, we're going to kind of preview as far as how somebody might be able to research and come up with things along those lines. Before we go to commercial break, Catherine, maybe your thoughts?
Sure. I mean, I can tell you a little bit about that if you want me to go ahead and answer some of those questions.
Yeah, maybe a quick preview, and then we'll go to break soon here.
Sure. So, again, I'm going to go back to the distinction between art therapy and using art as, as expression or health. And so if you're looking for that therapy, that it's very important that you do find a licensed and credentialed art therapist. And so I'll help you to kind of know where to find that.
And we'll be right back after this short commercial break.
Family Center for Recovery is the only facility in Florida owned and operated by an addiction psychiatrist, Dr. Robert Moran, and he's dedicated his life to helping the people no one else will. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
At the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana, they treat little problems before they become big problems. Unfortunately, 98% of treatment centers won't treat teens because they think it's too difficult or not profitable enough. Whether your teen is struggling with behavior issues, substance abuse, or mental illness, they believe every kid deserves a chance. Contact Family Center for Recovery or go to FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Family Center for Recovery. Before little problems become big problems.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
This is the Family Center for Recovery show. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that other centers don't, including teens, expectant mothers, patients with mental health issues, or needing a medical detox. Call 855-202-4220.
And we are back. Thank you for joining us on this 4th of July weekend and making us a part of your Sunday afternoon. Did you miss us? We missed you. We love our listeners, and thank you for joining us. So in today's studio, we are talking about art, the therapeutic values and things, values and ways it can open up as far as the subconscious. Catherine and Lindsay from ArtFX and Rachel Spiller from Over at Family Center for Recovery Primary Therapist. And we're going to talk about as far as how does somebody research? How does somebody know as far as if it's something they should be looking into? How do you determine, obviously, in the assessment? Rachel, could you maybe kind of go over for us a little bit about how somebody and things like that would work?
Okay. Well, I mean, certainly there's a difference between somebody who'd be looking for outpatient treatment and inpatient treatment. And, in the field, certainly, a lot more people think that they need outpatient treatment than actually do. People are very reticent to go into inpatient treatment, and understandably so, because it's a difficult thing to make a commitment to take a chunk of period in your life to go into inpatient treatment or to have your loved one go ahead and do that. But what we find quite often is that when substance abuse or any other psychiatric illness has gotten to the point where their life has become unmanageable, is that outpatient really does not work. It does not work. It becomes something where the person is going, but they're not following through, and they're, it's more of a front to make other people in their lives happy. And so what we recommend really at that point is to really take that plunge. And so you might not know for sure if you need that help. And so it's really important at that point to seek the counsel of people in your life and professionals, to have a professional evaluation to determine what level of care would be most appropriate for you.
And that's the thing is, as far as it's really, it's a component of, but it's not necessarily the answer to. And that's where some, the assessment, Family Center for Recovery, and our trained staff, as far as being able to look at all levels of care and determine. Somebody's interested in looking at, as far as websites and things, as far as, because yes, you do want trained professionals in the area. Catherine, I think you mentioned there's some websites and areas that people can look to research as further, possibly.
Sure. Well, and I want to add on to what Rachel was saying. If you think that the art needs to be a component, you can definitely speak with. So Family Center for Recovery, I understand. I know Rachel is bringing art into that. So if you feel that you or your loved one might benefit from having that as part of your modalities and your treatment and healing, that's definitely something you want to make sure is part of the process there. If you're seeking art therapy for yourself or others outside of treatment, there is definitely a way to find licensed and credentialed art therapists. And again, I want to advise that if that's what you need, if you need the actual therapy, the art therapy, you want someone who's been to school for and has that training and expertise. And one way of accessing such individuals is through the American Art Therapy Association's website. They actually have a list of providers who actually have the credentials to be able to use art as a form of therapy. And so these aren't just artists. These are people who have that clinical background. So they are actual clinicians. And so if that's what you're needing, that's definitely a place that you can start your research to find that person in your area. The Florida also has its own Art Therapy Association. So that's the Florida Art Therapy Association. You can also go through them, reach out to them, and they'll connect you with some providers in their area as well. As far as art for personal gain, certainly you can kind of look at different organizations in your area, community rec centers and things like that might have art like that.
Excellent. And those are really good venues as far as for people to kind of research, look further into, and see. And thoughts, Rachel, as far as other aspects that our listeners might find interesting and of value. I know that we talked about evidence-based therapies. We kind of touched on it a little bit earlier. Could you maybe kind of go a little bit more for our listeners as far as evidence-based and the importance and value that they might see in something like that with their therapy?
Well, I mean, certainly, you know, at Family Center for Recovery, we have always been, very determined that, you know, the evidence-based therapies are the only way to go, clearly. That's our motto. But, you know, I think as far as bringing in other therapies as well that are, you know, art therapy, we are working on being able to show a little bit more that we're evidence-based. We know for sure that we are evidence, that we work, the art therapy works, but it is a newer field, and so there is not as much research. There is starting to be.
Yeah, and that's one of my dreams. So as I mentioned, I'm a third-year art therapy student, and one thing I really want to do is to be able to contribute to the field and to be able to be gathering that data. Rachel, Lindsay, and I, we all know that art works, art definitely works in healing. And Rachel and I, as having a little background, well, Rachel is an art therapist, and I'll be there one day. But actually, being able to document that, being able to have that evidence to show we know it works, but we need the data. We need to be able to show everyone that it works.
And if you just joined us, you've tuned into the Family Center for Recovery Show. Your host, Peter Nathan, and with me in the studio today from ArtFX are Catherine and Lindsay. And from over at Family Center for Recovery, primary therapist, Rachel Spiller. We're talking about art. We're talking about as far as a mode of way of therapy and ways to unlock the subconscious and things along those lines. As we've been talking, Lindsay, you tell me your thoughts as far as some other experiences that you maybe could share with our listeners.
Absolutely. I just want to touch on Rachel, too, and I think the evidence-based is really good. And right, Catherine, we do need more research on art, because with our workshops, and I'm sure with your experience, too, Rachel, you've seen the communication and how well it goes through. One experience that I've had in addiction and in treatment, we do a throw canvas art. So what we do is have the clients do Symbol for Recovery, so it's very team building. They do it all together. And what we do is we have them associate one of their barriers to recovery and assign that with a color. And what we'll do is we'll put it in an egg and we throw it against the canvas. So it's like they're transitioning that barrier onto the symbol and kind of releasing those frustrations.
Smashing it. Symbolically destroying.
So it's very fun to see all the colors and everybody's barrier in like a piece of art that we can later discuss and kind of talk about those barriers.
And the way the symbol of recovery comes into it is that we actually have the clients tape that out on the canvas prior. So they're throwing this paint, and then when the tape is removed, that barrier, that symbol of recovery is now revealed in the clean white canvas behind.
It's an extra way of expression, and also as far as uncovering some true feelings and things along those lines.
I know that stress relief, too. You just destroy things.
And yeah, it's nice to see in a group, too, that they're not the only one with the same barrier. So it kind of lets those walls come down and the self-emissions and letting it all out.
This is an expose that I saw as recently aired about Philadelphia and as far as prison population and murals and inmates as far as upon release reconnecting with maybe that family member, that son or daughter that they haven't seen for years. Where do you find the words? How do you express yourself? And I know that the mural project that they've instituted has been very helpful as far as working with prison population and reconnecting families. I know that there's a certain amount of background thoughts and our prison population. Who'd like to maybe chime in on as far as prison population, jails, and the value of like arts and things like that? Your thoughts, please.
Sure. We don't have a lot of experience working with those populations, do you?
I myself do not have, but I know that when I was in school, I had a couple of classmates that had worked in those populations, and it certainly is something that can be used to break down some of those barriers. I know that's been a theme that we've been talking about throughout these segments, where, you know, you kind of take somebody who is used to presenting themselves as kind of tough, and it allows for a different side to kind of emerge.
Yeah.
And I think it really is kind of an equalizer wherever you go. Because everyone kind of comes to the table with the same things. Even if they're, you know, one person might have a little bit more skill than the other, it really is a language that everyone can speak.
Absolutely. So, good point.
Yeah, and I know that was an area that we were talking the other day as far as Catherine Lindsay, as far as men sometimes aren't really all that good at getting in touch with their feelings. And
no.
You get the macho man type mentality, and it's like this touchy-feely type of stuff. Really not into it. But you shared with me a story about somebody where that did come to light and was of value. Can you maybe share with our listeners that story?
Sure. So we had, and it happens, I mean, this person could be... You know, kind of encapsulates a ton of different people that we've come across. But like you said, somebody coming to us with that kind of macho mentality, and that art is for kids and women. but that's the feeling they had. Obviously, I don't believe that. But so just being in touch with art, which feels so emotional to them, it was very, I would say they wouldn't verbalize, but I think it was threatening to them that to be able to kind of get in touch with your emotions and the color and the senses that go with it. And so initially, you might get somebody who's a little bit more resistant or hesitant to do that. But then as they allow themselves to engage, as they give themselves their permission to get into it, those barriers do start to fall down. And by the time we finished working with these people over a series of weeks, you know, it's great to get these giant bear hugs from these massive men and say, you know, this was my favorite class that we got to do. So it's really neat to see that transformation.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that in an area, welding, as far as junkyard art, is also a way that I know that some men that I've known in my past that have gotten involved with, and it's an excellent way to express. It's a way of kind of doing, but also kind of get that doing as opposed to sitting and talking about mm-hmm. somebody's feelings and being able to really kind of connect with and find as far as some background sure. in those particular areas. We're going to be going to a short commercial break here shortly, and this 4th of July weekend, we appreciate you joining us here at the Family Center for Recovery show, and some of the things that we'll be talking about when we get back, ways that you can actually get involved and engaged as far as the therapeutic process and things that if you're looking to, and some of the things that you might be interested in doing. Thoughts before we go to commercial break?
I was going to say one other thing that kind of occurred to me is that sometimes people have this need to be perfect and this need to do everything 100% like by the book. Mm-hmm. And what they find is when they do artwork is that they're not able to do that. And they're not able to have everything be exactly how they want it. And so it can be a lesson in learning that they are not perfect and that that is okay.
You can plan as much as you want, but that doesn't mean it's going to turn out that way.
And that maybe sometimes that's even better.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. There's beauty in imperfection too.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So sometimes that can be the best lesson of all.
And we're going to be going to a short commercial break here shortly. We're talking about as far as perfection and as far as art. And if your stick people don't even look very good, we're going to go over as far as art is more about expression and what's involved with it. So with that, we'll be back after a short commercial break. Thank you for joining us.
Like the Family Center for Recovery on Facebook to learn more about their mental health service and Addiction Resources Center. Located in Lantana, Florida, the Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers can't. Call anytime, 855-202-4220. We'll be right back. The Family Center for Recovery in Lantana is the only treatment center in Florida owned and operated by a triple board certified psychiatrist. This means the Family Center for Recovery does treatment the right way. They treat substance abuse, depression, bipolar disorder, OCD, anxiety, teens and adults at all levels of inpatient care. Check out the innovative, life-changing treatment the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana has to offer at FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective, clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
Welcome back to the Family Center for Recovery radio show. If you wish to share this broadcast with a friend, you'll find the link at the Family Center for Recovery's website, FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
We are back. Thank you for joining us, the Family Center for Recovery show on this 4th of July weekend. We're talking art, and we're talking with Catherine and Lindsay from Artifacts and Rachel Spiller from over at Family Center for Recovery. I know in my travels, I find a lot of the schools, the youth, and if you really were interested in helping out our youth, I know that our guidance counselors are looking for donations. Simple trip to the Dollar Tour, the Dollar Tree, the Dollar Store, wherever. You can, for $20, you can come up with a lot of art supplies, watercolors, paper, pencils, things like that. So with that, our closing thoughts as we wrap up here. Catherine, some of your thoughts as we come back from commercial break.
Sure. I think it's just important to note that art is for everyone. It really is everyone. We are all innately creative, and our creativity comes out in different forms, and art is one of those ways of doing that. And so that the art is owned by us all, and that and that anyone can really benefit from the healing capacity of art. I just like to note, you know, a little looking toward the future kind of dream for Art Affects. You know, one thing that I would like to do is once I win the lottery and finish up my master's here, I would really love to open a community studio like this where people could come and actually access these discussion-based art workshops, these peer support groups through art. So that really is our dream for the future of Art Affects. Lindsay?
I would love to be a part of that dream too, Catherine. But too, like, just the power of art and the power of expression. I think you made a great point that, you know, it is for everyone, and to use it as a healing tool in your expression and just working through anything you might be struggling with, and also the importance of art therapists and a clinician as well.
And I think the idea of some place to go, a safe haven, to a way to get off the streets, especially for so many youth that are, and adults as well. It's a very calming in effect. Rachel, your thoughts?
You know, certainly as Family Center for Recovery continues to grow, I certainly see art therapy continuing to be an even larger part of it. You know, certainly I haven't gotten approval from Dr. Moran, but someday I will get him to build me my art studio.
He doesn't know it yet,
but he will. But, you know, certainly I would see that as being an increasingly big part of our program, where all parts, you know, of the program would have access to that and would be able to maybe even do glass blowing one day.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's an area, like we're talking early, as far as research. And art has been around with us for literally millions and millions of years. Mm-hmm. And you go back to as far as art and the therapeutic values. I know Dr. Moran is very in touch with as far as the brain. And I know that as far as reaction, when somebody is creating art and how that does affect as far as impulses, dopamine releasing, things along those lines, and thoughts as far as research, and maybe what would be a really good research project or area that we might want to focus in on?
Well, one of my passions is with addiction, and specifically aftercare, and that there needs to be more services for people post-treatment. And so I do see that that future studio actually holding these peer support groups where they can kind of support each other in their continuing recoveries. And I do see that it may be difficult, and I have to work out the kinks, but I do see that art and these groups would definitely have an effect on relapse prevention, like preventing that relapse.
And I think that's great, because one of the things I so often hear from patients is, I don't know how to have fun sober.
Yes.
I don't, there's nothing for me to do.
Right.
What am
they're,
I supposed
they're
to do
They're relearning
now?
Themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, having art be a huge part of that is a great idea.
I agree.
And gathering the data that shows, you know, this actually is making an effect on people's not relapsing. It's actually helping them not to, get down the follow that wrong path. And so being able to document that, and, you know, maybe we can do something positive to help with this terrible opioid crisis that we have down here.
Absolutely.
Well, and that's the area they look at is that solutions and positive things that we have that are available. And sometimes the answers are right there in front of us. And it's just a matter of just kind of taking the time to really kind of research them, plan them out, and work with them. And I know that this has been a very very informational. Learned a lot as far as how and what. So, at just a few seconds left here, anybody like to provide a closing thought?
Well, thank you so much for having us. We
absolutely
really appreciate
thank you.
And to have been able to meet Miss Rachel over here has been wonderful, wonderful experience.
Yeah. I always appreciate an opportunity to talk about art and how it can be used therapeutically and educate people about that. So thank you.
Well, thank you, ladies, for joining us today here in the studio. I know our listeners have learned a lot. And have a safe and happy 4th of July. And thanks again for joining us on the Family Center for Recovery show.
This has been the Family Center for Recovery radio show. To learn more about the center or to send a link of the show, visit fcfrmd.com. That's fcfrmd.com. Join us next Sunday at noon for the Family Center for Recovery show.
You've heard the old saying, you get what you pay for. Well, it's certainly true for tractors, folks. Some companies